Welcome to Cord Killer's Reckoning. The world of entertainment is turned upside down, and we're just trying to find out how to watch what we want, where we want, whenever we want. I'm Tom Merritt. Where's the good stuff, Brian?
Oh my gosh, the good stuff is in our hearts, as you know, and have always known. However, our hearts have flown astray for far too long because we did an early episode last week. So it's been, what, 10 years? 10 years.
It's been 10 years since we did our last episode. For us, for because we've been time traveling. It's probably, I don't know, I can't, maybe 9 days for most people. Yeah.
Interstellar made all of that really complicated.
Yeah, no, it really is. Nevertheless, we do have a supply run. Speaking of moving ahead and going back in time, YouTube moved its jump ahead feature from selected testing to being a feature that everybody who pays for YouTube Premium now gets. If you subscribe to YouTube Premium, you get jump ahead. Jump ahead uses some machine learning and then kind of user data about where people generally go when they jump ahead to predict which parts of a video you are most likely to enjoy. And when you choose jump ahead, it skips to those parts. You can access it by opting into the experiment. So you got to do that in the Android app in the United States. And it works on English language videos. So when I say all YouTube Premium users, I mean those in the U.S. who use the Android app to watch English language videos, but it will expand eventually. When it's available, you'll see the jump ahead button when you double tap to skip forward. The feature is also still experimental. So YouTube put an expiration date on it, said we'll have this available until June 1st, and then they'll make a decision. Will they retire it? Will they extend it? Or will they change it? We'll find out.
Hey, Tom Merritt, it's me, Brian Brushwood. First of all, I know you want a response for a single little soundbite about this news story, but first I want you to hit that like and subscribe button. Don't forget, we're over at this website that you've never heard of.
Where's the jump ahead thing?
But first, this episode is brought to you by Jeep Jobs. JeepJobs.org. It's the only place to get your Jeep Jobs. Make sure to use promo code whatever.
Wait, so this is horrible for brands.
All right, so listen, I know what you want is a hot take from Brian about how to skip to the good part.
No, we get this part about we need to skip you right now, Brian. Let's actually skip.
Multiple takes about this kind of thing in the past. All right, you catch my meaning.
yes, we do. And I was going to say, this is bad for brands, right? Because you can skip right past that mattress and Squarespace and Udemy and all those other things.
I think there will be some behind-the-scenes negotiations similar to how there was with AdSense revenues or whatever. So we've talked a little bit about this in the past, and I have a little bit of insider knowledge. But to collapse everything, AdSense revenues are very, very tiny. They're pennies.
Hold on. I just want to make sure you're considering the ads we're skipping, YouTube doesn't get a cut of.
That's correct. And that was exactly what I wanted to lead into. It's like if you're a serious player in the YouTube market, whatever you make in AdSense, you can usually make four times that amount per month on a single video by doing a sponsor integration. Now, usually per the FCC, you have to disclose that this video is sponsored right at the top. That's the reason every episode of Modern Rogue begins with this episode of the Modern Rogue brought to you by Squarespace. Head on over to squarespace.com/rogue, spell it right, R-O-G-U-E, blah, blah, blah. All of that are things that people tend to skip. And then it finally, let's say you use, some people call it clickbait. I don't like that word for it. I would say curiosity-inducing headlines, like this is the one thing Winston Churchill would prefer you didn't know about him. And then it's like, well, what is it? And then you'll notice at the bottom of YouTube videos, there's kind of a big mountain that is clearly the part where they answer the question. What is it that Winston Churchill didn't want you to know about him? And so you would jump to that. I think it's smart for them to slow roll this out because that means they can take it away as a beta feature that didn't work out without upsetting anyone. I think it's definitely what the consumer wants, But I don't see how this actually goes to air without some kind of pushback from all of the creators, because the creators don't make their money from AdSense. They do, and YouTube is a gatekeeper that keeps them from being able to. One of the questions I ask people is, when you think about your reach, think about it in the context of your daughter needs a kidney. How many people could you reach right now without spending a penny? And unfortunately, like, YouTube is drifting a little bit more towards, how about you give us some of that cheddar a la Facebook in order to reach your own audience in a way that you don't see in emails or that kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe. I imagine that the YouTube side of this argument will be people skip anyway. So the people who are going to use this feature were already skipping your brand thing. Now we're making sure that they come back and watch your video more often because they're more satisfied and maybe they're more likely to stick around. But if they don't, you weren't going to get them anyway. Is probably going to be the argument that they make. And what they're doing right now is collecting the analytics to show that and say, here are the people who were skipping before. Here are the people who are skipping now. They're the same. Here's the retention rate after jump ahead where they feel satisfied and want to come back to your videos, and they'll hope that they can show a good story. If they can't, then yeah, maybe jump ahead gets resigned.
And there was a couple of advertising articles that I read that indicated that when people do the 5-second skip thing, like they count 5 seconds and then they actually click the skip, in a weird way, those are actually more valuable views because they know for a fact that the first 5 seconds got viewed and caused somebody to do a thing, which
it's an engaged user, right? Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other part of this is the machine learning. Like, it's using mostly user data, like you said, the mountain, to figure out, like, oh, that's where everybody goes. Let's go there. So it's not machine learning like, you know, ChatGPT. It's a little more simplistic than that. But it is putting into the machine's control, like, take me to the interesting part. And how good it is at doing that is important. Maybe the interesting part for you isn't the mountain. Maybe it's some other part. And that's where an algorithm could shine if it knows you and, like, well, wait a minute. Hold on, Tom. You have a different profile than other people. I think there's this other part of this video that we scanned and in turned and used a large language model to examine. And then we can get you to that. I don't think this is doing that. I don't think this is that sophisticated based on the little they have used to describe it yet.
So let me pitch this to you, Tom. There was a good 12 years of us every single week doing Scam School, Scam Nation content. And then there was another, 8 years of every single week of fresh Monorogue content. And then, the pandemic happened, and then the backlash from the pandemic happened and all that stuff. And so around this time, YouTube got serious about shorts. And so, like, I pay solid money to a human being to sit and watch. The editor who creates the shorts on both of those channels has watched more videos than possibly anybody ever on both of those channels. And he cuts them down to the best 1-minute segments. Sometimes some episodes have 3 to 4 of them. Some of them, there's only one that it reduces to, but all of it is touched by a human. To be honest, it seems like the next step on this, Tom, would be that after it figures out machine learning wise what the good parts are, it would just do you the favor of assembling a short that, you know, right now I'm paying money for, which is working very, very well. We picked up like a 500,000 subscribers between the two channels because of the shorts. But if a machine's going to do it, that part's less fun for me.
Yeah, and we're talking specifically about the shorts where you are taking a longer video and excerpting something to put on shorts. Correct. Not every short is like that, but a lot of them are. There's tools that'll do that, right? Claim to be able to do that right now, to say, hey, let us tell you what the most interesting part of this video is, and then, you know, we'll take you right to that and you can cut it out. Eileen has used some of those for Apple Vision Show. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But they're getting better and better. So I think you're right. It would be interesting if YouTube at some point introduce that as a, like, hey, we've got this jump ahead feature. And also, if you're a creator, we have this snip out the most, you know, the best, most compelling part for a short. Like, it seems really, really obvious that they would want to be able to do that.
Yeah. The counter argument that I can understand is the number is literally zero of number of people who go down the rabbit hole, figure out where things originated from, and are happier when they find out that it was a robot at the beginning of it than a human. You know, in general, people want to seek out the art of other humans.
I'm seeing a couple of people, TF87 and Lawnmakes, both in the chat, talking about, you know, staring at the countdown and waiting to click as soon as the ad is over, or as soon as you can skip, or, you know, encouraging everyone to make videos that are greater than 8 minutes so they can get a second ad, but now people want to skip that. Those are great points for the free version of YouTube, where they put ads in for you. We're talking about YouTube Premium. Don't forget, these are people who don't get roll-in ads. These are people who only get ads because the creator has them endemic to it. And those ads YouTube does not get a cut of. So those creators get paid based on the time that people spend watching their stuff. And so I hadn't even thought about this. There's a double problem here, is that if you jump ahead, you're spending less time on the video, and you might be skipping past the paid brand announcement that is inside the ad. But this only affects people who don't see the other ads. They don't see the YouTube ads because it's YouTube Premium only.
Well, and keep in mind, for those who are well-established and have integrated ads like baked into the actual content. For example, the number one video on this Scam School channel is, I believe, one that Eileen worked on. The number one video.
So it's old.
Yes. About 5 minutes in, we stop and we explain how Netflix is a service where you can rent a DVD by mail. And then in the middle of that ad for Netflix, which is 15 years old, it will break apart and insert an organic AdSense ad in there. So it'll interrupt an ad for an ad on there. And then, of course, none of that is what Netflix actually paid for. They paid for a 90-day window, but YouTube does not offer any ability to edit your videos after they go up. So as a result, there's a bit of a free rider problem in that aspect.
Yeah. I wonder if this were to catch on and it became popular and it became a thing that creators were like, hold on, this is becoming an issue for us, if you wouldn't see a benefit for the people who are just so good at seamlessly bringing that ad in, right? I don't know if you've ever watched Stephanie Sue, Mango Butt. She is a genius at the segue. You will be halfway through her ad before you realize, oh crap, this is the ad, because she doesn't start with an ad. She tells you a story,
right?
And the story is a good one where you're like, oh, I want to know what happens. Like, how did you slip and fall and hurt your butt? And the next thing you know, she's telling you, and the only way I recovered was sleeping on a mattress. Except that retelling that I gave you is like 10 times worse than what she does. There aren't that many people who have that ability to just really weave a story and weave a sponsorship in, but the people who can are going to benefit in that world where you're fighting against the skip.
Yep.
Well, that brings us to our Patreon plug, Brian.
Oh, you know,
as an example of how not to transition.
I slipped and fell, and I fell on my butt, Tom. You know what I thought?
I'm like, hey, I bet Stephanie Sue would have a great story about this. That's what I thought.
You know what? I have an even better story, because my story is about us having left the network to be Loud, Live, and Independent and recreating ourselves again and again and again and again. What have we been covering this beat for 14, 15 years now?
Yeah,
why,
right?
Everybody who's hearing our voices, head on over to patreon.com/cordkillers. You support us, make this continue to happen, but most importantly, it's getting better and better, because not only in one feed do you get the complete original program, not only do you get the full experience as we deconstruct some of history's greatest TV shows and pop culture icons, but in the After Talk segment, you'll get to hear us do the Best of Spoiler in Time, where we talk about things that we really, really care about. For example, this week, I do believe it's Hacks.
Ah, yeah. Hacks is back. We have talked about it on Spoiler in Time. So if you want to hear the Spoiler in Time talk about Hacks, you got to be a patron. Get After Talk. Join the crowd, man. There's a bunch. It's so cool to see so many people heading back into the Patreon for Cord Killers. It's really nice to see. So thanks to everybody for joining them. And if you haven't, you might want to. Let's move on to the search party. So, Star Wars Acolyte is coming June 4th. This weekend was May the 4th. May the 4th be with you and also with you and with your Force Ghost. And they put out a trailer. They put out a trailer, Brian, for Star Wars Acolyte. We don't know a whole lot. There was a little more revealed in the trailer. The only thing that is important to know is that this is set hundreds of years before the Skywalker saga. So this is not... verging up on Phantom Menace. This is Old Republic style stuff, or High Republic, I think, is what they're referring to.
And actually, I hope it's more reminiscent of Old Republic. For those of you who never played the Xbox game Knights of the Old Republic KOTOR, it truly was really, really wonderful to just have all of the trappings of a Star Wars universe without any of the baggage of a Star Wars universe. And if they can nail that, that would be utterly delightful. But as for now, it was really a roller coaster of an emotion when they were like, from the studio that brought you Andor, Mandalorian,
they just mean Disney,
and I don't know, the Bad Batch or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, it's just Disney. To be honest, Tom, I'm just at the point where it's like, I'm going to wait until this comes out. I'm going to read the reviews, then I'll go see it.
Yeah. Based on the reviews. I want an adventure space story. I want an adventure space opera fantasy with lightsabers. That's what this looks like. And it doesn't tell me whether that's a good space adventure lightsaber story or a bad one yet. So I will withhold my judgment. But nothing set my teeth on edge in this trailer. So I'm looking forward to trying it out June 4th.
Yeah.
We also got a trailer for a very similar show in no way at all. The Boys season 4, coming back on June 13th on Amazon Prime Video. What'd you think of The Boys trailer?
Tom, this is the part where I portray myself as a complete hypocrite, because while I'm going to roll my eyes at the fact that Star Wars can't stop telling the same story again and again and again, I'm very excited that The Boys is telling the same story again and again. I don't care what they're doing. All I know is I love every single one of these characters, and I want to see them go in a loop in the same thing again. I don't care.
Yeah. Eileen and I saw that the trailer came up. We're like, ooh, Boys trailer. Let's watch it. We watched it and we looked at each other and said, that sure looks like a season of The Boys. Like, and not in a bad way. Just like, yep. Nope. That's what we would expect from The Boys. Okay. Good. Good to know. That's what we're getting.
There is, if you've watched the previous seasons, a few visual vignettes that kind of like, if you spend 20 seconds really thinking about how did they get there, they kind of spell themselves out as possible spoilers for it. So all I'm going to say is can't wait.
My favorite part of watching the trailer with Eileen was like, 2/3 of the way through when she went, oh, look, it's Fishboy for the Mariner. good news for Amazon Prime. Their Fallout TV series reportedly was viewed by 65 million viewers in its first 16 days. That seems like cherry picking to do 16 days, but it does make it the second most watched Prime Video title behind Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, and the most watched title on Prime Video ever amongst the 18 to 34 year old demo.
So here's a fun game, Tom. Would you perceive this factoid as a compliment to Fallout, or damning with faint praise Lord of the Rings?
Interesting. It's certain. I think it's definitely a compliment to Fallout. Yes. I will 100% back that. The first thought I had when I saw that Rings of Power was not number one for 18 to 34 was, because those of us older, over 34 fell asleep and watched the whole thing, as far as they know.
Yeah. Let's go back to Fallout. I'm really intrigued by, and I've been very cautious. We talked in a previous episode about the fact that everybody is sensitive. Like, for example, like if you're a video viewer, like right now, my watch right now has a Pip-Boy on it. You know, I've been a big fan of the game is very precious to me. And for the first time, I was kind of called out like, oh, what if they come for your favorite thing, Brian? Mm-hmm. What if they make it cheesy and stupid and the object of derision? Well, I will admit that I was afraid, but then I think it acquitted itself quite well. But what's been fascinating is to get the opinions of people who ain't never played none of the games. And some of them were very hesitant, including my comedy co-host, Justin Robert Young, although he's warming to it as he gets more to the action parts in the latter half. Others of them just binged the whole thing. It was like, I ain't never played a Fallout game. I think it's amazing. Like my friend Andrew Main. It's been a fun game to watch. And I think in general, they really nailed it. I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts? We've talked previously about this.
Yeah, I have not played a lot of Fallout, and I don't know the lore very well. And I enjoyed every single minute. You've probably heard me say that on the show before, but it was great. I binged through it as fast as I could because I was enjoying it. I'm looking forward to another season of it whenever that arrives. And I've been playing Fallout Shelter on my phone ever since. Like, I'm still playing it. Like, it had long lasting effects in that way. So yeah, I think overall this number doesn't surprise me. It's a really good effort, and well done, Amazon.
For those of you who are unfamiliar, Fallout Shelter is just a tower building mobile game that instead you build down in a vault. It's silly and fun.
We got a trailer for Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, coming to Disney, or coming to theaters, I guess, December 20th from Disney. This tells how the Lion King's dad, Mufasa, rose from obscurity to the kingship, I guess. And it's that live action where it's all CG, but it looks live instead of looking like a cartoon.
Tom, this may surprise you, but I was a little bit like really into this trailer.
Oh, really? Yeah, that does surprise me a little bit.
Well, because the Lion King was just Hamlet with lions, right?
Yeah.
And then the live, air quotes, live action Lion King was just the Lion King with computers. And it's like, what if you did something new, guys? And it looks an awful lot like that's what they're promising with this, is it's not just blank with blank. And I'm really stoked about that.
Yeah, I agree. It does look promising. I'm not sure I needed this, right? But maybe, you know, I did, and I didn't know I needed it. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, I've run out of daughters under the age of 11 to take to this, so I probably won't even see it. But meanwhile, it's something new.
That will be interesting because you've got that theater across the street. Do you end up just seeing Mufasa because you're like, hey, that looked kind of interesting and new, and I'll watch it on my own, even if the daughters don't want to.
One question. Am I hungry for pizza, and would I like a beer? The answer
yes.
Is
yes. Yes. And yes. Just so you know, with Planet of the Apes coming back to theaters May 10th, they now have the complete franchise streaming on Hulu. So if you want to catch up or refresh before you see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes May 10th, it's all of it, including the Charlton Heston stuff. So it goes all the way back. If you want to stream it, you can on Hulu. Also, BBC, ITV, Channel 4, and Channel 5 have backed a free UK streaming service called Freely, and it is now launched. So if you're in the UK and you pay your TV license, you can get it built into Hisense TVs. It'll be built into other TVs as well. When we say built in, it's just an app, but they're not putting it in app stores. They're only bundling it in with TVs. And TiVo will include it in its operating system, which the TiVo operating system, obviously classically on the DVR, but it's also on some set-top boxes and stuff. So you'll be able to give it that way. It allows you to do what you do over the air, over the internet. So you get all of the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5 channels and content streaming for free.
And I assume this is a ad-supported fast service.
No. There are ads on some of these channels, but it is TV license supported.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right.
At least in the UK. And then Weigel Broadcasting announced the launch of an all-new national television network in the United States called MeTV Toons. Not songs, but cartoons, T-O-O-N-S, dedicated exclusively to classic animation from Hollywood-era shorts to made-for-television favorites. So Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Scooby-Doo, Tom and Jerry, George Jetson, Yogi Bear, Popeye, a lot of the stuff that played in the morning when you were getting ready for school on the independent channel, if you were growing up in the U.S., is going to be on MeTV Toons. They'll have some non-Warner stuff, too. Rocky and Bullwinkle, Woody Woodpecker, Casper, Betty Boop, Speed Racer is even on here. It will be available, interestingly, for broadcast. Usually the MeTV stuff shows up on one of the alternate digital channels. Cable, so you will see cable TV carry MeTV channels sometimes. Virtual cable, so YouTube TV, Hulu live streaming of that, and a fast service. So some of the Pluto Zumos will pick it up as well. MeTV Toons launches June
25th, 2024. A lot of Hanna-Barbera in there, looks like.
Yeah, Jetsons, Flintstone, they're Hanna-Barbera, right? Yeah. Huh.
Okay, if you're going to place a bet, how many people are going to get MeTV the exact same day they start collecting Social Security?
MeTV Toons?
Yeah.
The same day they collect Social Security?
Yes.
36%.
Yeah, you think? I mean, it is kind of, I don't know, like you and I saw it because it was in syndication and it was cheap and free.
Yeah,
you know,
right. It was like, in the morning, Captain Kangaroo's over, but they're doing Woody Woodpecker. Here, kids, watch that. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, time to dig up some buried treasure.
Most people want to know why they suddenly got rich.
Buried treasure.
Brian, what have you been watching?
Unfortunately, a lot of these will be repeats for longtime listeners of the show, but my daughter is now 16 and a half, and she's still interested in sort of, she leans on me like, just tell me what's good, Dad. And recently, she wanted something that was funny, but kind of emotional. And I was a bit surprised, Tom. I went to Google and I said, you know, top comedy movies or whatever. And there seems to be on any of those listicles, whatever is the most like quotable. A lot of, as I think of it, beige comedies like your Caddyshacks and your Ghostbusters.
That's good SEO, right? You want to have the quotable stuff on there because people are searching for it. It makes sense. But it's not actually a good list.
Exactly, right? And so where we ended up last night was, not a comedy, but I because she's 16 and a half, I tried out Donnie Darko, and I was shocked. I was like, hey, I have no idea if Donnie Darko holds up. It's mysterious and weird, and it makes no sense. And the only way it makes sense is after you read the Wikipedia after watching the movie. Uh-huh. I'll explain it to you. She loved Donnie Darko. And then last night she wanted something with a little, you know, comedy with a little bit of sauce in there to mm-hmm. make her feel something. And we ended up, for me, rewatching. She hadn't seen it the first time, but Jack Black and Jason Schwartzman in The Polka King, which was just great. It really holds up. And she really, really loved it. It really does help that movie that not only is it based on a true story, but it is authentically to the accent, to the pronunciation of, you know, his wife does mispronounce the guy's own name, Jan, as Jan. It's amazing. Yeah. Quite good.
Fantastic. I'm surprised she didn't want to watch a Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds movie.
You know what? If Mad Max was out earlier, we would have gone and seen it.
You really got that. Yeah. I can't watch Donnie Darko. Because we literally had a tire fall from the sky and crush our car when we were driving one time. Yeah.
What?
Eileen and I were driving back from Los Angeles and like a tire came out of nowhere and crushed the hood of our car.
Did it spark a splinter universe that you were in control of and you needed somebody who also died within that universe to explain to you how to use your powers?
Yep.
Sorry, spoiler.
AAA didn't cover that either. Claire, it was not a plane tire that we know of, but the tire kind of just disappeared. We never saw it again. So Hard to say. Hard to say. I want to put in a word for Shogun, the series. It is getting some comparisons. Justin Robert Young compared it to Game of Thrones in the level of intrigue that is happening in it. If you haven't watched it, it is based on the James Clavell novel, same as the like 80s era TV show miniseries, but it is a much more updated take. It is mostly in Japanese. You have the one Englishman who speaks English, and then the translator who speaks English to him. But everything else is in Japanese with subtitles. So that may not be for everyone, but it is thick. It is rooted in actual Japanese history. I never have read the book, so I don't know how much of that is in Clavell's novel or not, but this feels like it is trying very hard to replicate what was happening in the Shogunate era and the post-Shogunate era. And it's great acting, great directing. So I am only just past halfway through, but it is rich, and it is well-liked by Justin Robert Young, who has finished it. So if you haven't checked it out, check out Shogun.
Also well liked by all of the world. I believe it had like 99% upvotes on Rotten Tomatoes last time that I looked at it. I've heard from many, many vectors that it's quite a good show.
Yeah, and it's strong in the like, you know, historical element, not apologizing for anyone. The Portuguese Catholics, the rough and tumble English trader, you know, the various Japanese factions that are depicted. They are all deep characters rather than, you know, paper cutouts of like, oh, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys. And you're never quite sure exactly who's good or who's bad, especially, you know, because you've got a morally compromised hero that you find out very early on. But anyway, I'm digging it. I think it's a good show.
So you're far enough into it. Here's my question. I don't know if I can get Bonnie to stay up late enough to watch it with me, but is too old for Josie at 16 and a half?
No, but it may not be to her taste. It is very violent. And it is depicting the relationships between people of the, you know, 1600s in Japan. Sure, so there's not a lot of modern sensibilities. They're trying to tell it like this is the way it was then.
Yeah.
Right? Now you've got some very empowered characters that are fighting against that system, and what I think is good is that you don't make it a paper doll cutout in the other way of like everyone was bad back then. Like there's some people who are able to fight through the system and work the system their way. So she might like it because of that. It's hard to say.
Cool.
If you got something we should be on the lookout for, email us cordkillers@gmail.com. Brian, every day since 2004 and probably even you could arguably say 1999, I have gotten up, looked at the tech news, and identified what the most important tech news of the day is. I have turned that into multiple podcasts, the most recent of which is Daily Tech News Show. But I have decided that all of that prep that I do for that over the years is probably beneficial to somebody to read in the morning. And so I created a tech newsletter.
Wait a minute. So are you trying to say that instead of everybody reading all of the news themselves, they could get a one-step refined, shortened version through the lens of Tom Merritt's 25-year history of understanding tech news and its cycles and what he thinks of it, and then later get a highly refined version of it in all of your podcasts?
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying, Brian.
Okay. Whoa. This is confusing to me. Are you saying that they can get it like all privately in their own email box? Yep. Okay. What does this cost? $1 billion?
TechTom.substack.com or freetechnewsletter.com will take you to the subscription page. If you don't want to pay for it, you get it on Thursdays. So whatever's out on Thursday, you get the five most important stories of the day. You get a few more stories that are important for context where I'm like, just keep an eye on this. And you get some interesting reads. No more than five of those. That like, these might be worth your time to just dive in and read yourself. If you want to get that every day, I just ask for you to pay for the minimum Substack subscription, which you can set the amount. There is a minimum amount, but you can set that. It's like $70 a year, though. Like it's almost nothing. So if you would like to be the smartest person in the room on technology, most of it you can do for free. Listen to Daily Tech News Show, subscribe to freetechnewsletter.com. And if you kick in a couple more bucks, you get that stuff in your inbox every day. And it's different than the Daily Tech News Show. It's expanded. It's my point of view. Whereas DTNS, I'm playing moderator. Here, I'm giving you exactly what I think on every particular story. So go check it out at freetechnewsletter.com.
Let me pitch you this. $70. Spend it and forget it.
freetechnewsletter.com. I like it.
I'll come back. I'll have a better pitch later.
No. I'm trying to end with the call letters is what I was taught in radio. The last thing you say should be the thing they're going to remember. freetechnewsletter.com. But so I like that pitch.
To like interrupt you after you said that, that wouldn't be the last thing. That would be a problem.
Right.
And you'd have to
exactly.
say it again.
freetechnewsletter.com. Until Amos finally plays Scanning the Horizon.
Send a scanning crew aboard.
Scanning the Horizon!
Doesn't look like Paramount's going to buy Skydance this week. They had a deadline on Friday that was missed, but there are a lot of other moves. Paramount did replace Bob Bakish. We told you about that in the last episode that they were going to do it, and they did. They now have an office of the CEO made up of CBS president and CEO George Cheeks, president and CEO of Showtime, MTV Studios, Chris McCarthy, and president and CEO of Paramount Pictures, Nickelodeon, Brian Robbins. Meanwhile, Paramount Plus passed 71 million subs and is expected to be profitable by the end of next year. So that is a positive when you're looking at a merger. Paramount and Charter reached an agreement to extend their existing carriage deal temporarily while they negotiate a new one. So you're not going to see blackouts. They're still got to make their final agreement, but that's a positive sign. No Skydance deal, which means they can now negotiate with Sony Pictures Entertainment, Apollo Global Management on the alternative bid. And insiders speculate that the strategic plan might include selling BET Media Group, which Byron Allen has expressed interest in acquiring, and Paramount Pictures, the studio lot in Melrose Avenue, to the Apollo deal and the Sony deal. And then the company might try to combine a different offer with Skydance or something like that. There's also the idea that they might just stay independent and somehow combine Paramount Plus with Peacock in some way. So not with Comcast buying them, but just, you know, bundling up the two companies.
Tom, you've been paying more attention to the
So I don't know if Brian knows that he froze, but he did fry. He did freeze. And I have been paying attention to the mechanics of the deal.
Sorry about that, Tom. Good chance. They always come in twos. I don't know if you ever saw Poltergeist, but they come in bundles.
Yeah. Or the Sith.
Yep. You've been following the mechanics of this. Do you see any possibility where Paramount Plus just, you know, sort of shrugs it off and recovers on their own? Or at this point, does it look like no matter what, they're going to buddy up with somebody, whether it's getting bought? Whether
I think
it's
Sherry bought, Redstone wants to buddy up with somebody. She wants to sell it. She wants to cash out. She wants to sell this out. Keep a stake in whatever the new owner is. But she doesn't want to be running National Amusements, which owns Paramount in this way anymore. So they'll figure it out. It's just a matter of when, not if. At least that is my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
Peacock itself is going to raise the price of its service $2 a month, starting for new subscribers July 18th and existing subscribers on August 17th. The ad-supported premium plan goes from $5.99 to $7.99, premium plus $11.99 to $13.99. If you were like, yes, I know how to add two to a number, I'm only saying that because you might not have known what the original prices are. It'll be $8 for the one with ads and $14 for the one without ads.
Well, and on top of that, I think it's important to hear the new prices because you kind of close your eyes and you think of them as an anchoring price. Like, does $5.99 or $7.99 feel substantially different? They kind of don't. They're both like under $10, and I don't really think much about them. And the premium, though, you know, $11.99 is, you know, kind of almost $10. $13.99, it's like, kind of close to $15.
Yeah, it's the premium plus plan sounds more expensive, even though it's exactly the same amount more expensive as the premium plan.
Also, the same number of ads. Don't play ads for your other shows and tell me you're ad free.
Crunchyroll is also raising its prices. The top tier plans in the U.S. Mega Fan tier goes to $11.99 from $9.99. Ultimate Fan tier to $15.99 from $14.99. It's only a dollar up for that one. And the existing Fan tier will remain unchanged. They aren't raising the price on the cheapest one, which will stay $7.99.
I'd be really curious, and maybe this is one we'll kick to the fans over at cordkillers@gmail.com. Hit us up with which of these kind of sting to you and make you want to give up. Because, yes, obviously, nobody loves a price raise, especially, you know, in the justifiable environment of, you know, inflation. However, it's also kind of an endorsement of the health of these platforms,
yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, the fact that they're not abandoning it, they're trying to monetize it. I think I get what you're saying there.
They're not putting themselves on the market saying, somebody want to be our roommate.
Paramount did not raise prices on Paramount Plus, is what you're pointing out. At least not this week. Amazon ad revenue rose 24%, lifted mostly by adding video ads to Prime. So, yeah, if you were wondering, man, why did they do that annoying thing and turn on ads on my Prime Video subscription? So they could make $11.8 billion last quarter. That's why.
For the full experience, Tom, we're going to talk about Battlestar Galactica. Didn't love watching commercials during it, considering that I pay for Amazon Prime.
Yeah, that was interesting. Battlestar Galactica, the first two episodes of the full experience I bought, because it was not available on Amazon Prime. It became available on Amazon Prime for me as well. And then, yeah, had to watch ads. And it was not enough to make me go pay $1.99 to watch it without ads, though. So, you know, it's on me. Yep. A couple other things here. Walmart is about to launch a 4K Chromecast that's also a smart speaker. That seems to be kind of a new trend. So if you're interested in that kind of hardware, you might want to look into that. And a bunch of news around sports carriage, which I know not every one of you is into, but I feel like it's important for us to keep you updated on it. Fubo has dropped all the Discovery networks. It had already dropped the Warner networks, so it had dropped the sports networks from Warner Brothers Discovery. It wasn't carrying TNT. Or TBS, but it has now dropped the Discovery networks, which means it is playing hardball and saying, well, fine, we are not going to give you any money then, as in a way to try to get a better deal out of them, I would guess. Comcast has dropped Bally Sports. Bally Sports is the one that's by Diamond Media, that's been bankrupt. Chapter 11 has all the regional sports for a lot of NBA, Major League Baseball, and NHL teams, and Comcast dropping it is a big problem for Bally Sports. I still don't know who's going to end up with Bally Sports, but I don't think it's going to exist as an independent majority Sinclair owned company for much longer, especially with the NBA rights contracts going into negotiation. The exclusive window between the NBA, ESPN, and TNT expired without a deal. That doesn't mean ESPN and TNT won't get it. It just means that the NBA can now go talk to Amazon. They can talk to Apple. They can talk to anybody else. And they could still end up going back and signing with ESPN and TNT. But it is going to be a big bidding war to get National Basketball Association basketball on a platform. And we'll see who gets to keep it.
I believe we talked in the context of NFL, like Amazon has done a number of live streaming events of sports stuff, right?
Amazon does the NFL. It has an exclusive game on Thursdays. Like, yeah, no, it is fully in the live sports arena for sure.
Yeah. And meanwhile, on the other side, we had talked about how Netflix was kind of like slow dipping a toe into that, where it's like, you know, like a comedy special or a reality show here or there, where people aren't literally gambling on the event.
They're doing the fight thing. Yeah, and,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks like Amazon and Apple would be the ones to watch to see if they get this. I'm guessing Amazon at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Let's finish up with some chatter.
You've got mail.
Matt Bat asks an interesting question. We talked about serial churning and how streamers want to stop it, or at least, you know, limit it, which is serial churning is the idea that I continually cancel services and then go sign up for new ones. Matt Bat says, why does serial churning have to be something the streaming services need to fix? You don't ask rental car companies, how do we lock people in for renting a car for a year? When you need a rental car, you rent a car. And when you're done using it, you turn it back in and everybody's happy. When I want to watch Fallout, I rent Amazon Prime. When I'm done watching Amazon Prime, I cancel the service because I don't need it anymore. It's a failure of a business model if you need to lock me in for 6 months to a year at a time to be profitable. I should be able to rent your motel room without signing up for a year-long service. To be honest, I'm playing devil's advocate because I'm one of the people who isn't allowed to unsubscribe from things that my wife is no longer watching. She has severe FOMO about shows that she doesn't have time to watch. Your former and future boss, still in Patreon purgatory, Matt Bat.
Number one, I appreciate your candor on that. Number two, Daniel Kahneman and Amos Tversky wrote a book called Thinking Fast and Slow, where they talked about the importance of anchoring. And they did an experiment where the question that they were about to ask was going to be, how many countries in Africa do you think are members of the United Nations? But they didn't say that first. They said, hello, would you like to take a quiz? It's only one question long, and I'm going to spin this wheel of fortune. And they spin the wheel of fortune, and sometimes, whoa, 95, that's a very high number. Now, would you like to answer this question? How many countries in Africa are members of the United Nations? And then those people would tend to drift pretty high. And other times, if the Wheel of Fortune came up with a low number, they would tend to drift pretty low. And the real answer is yes, you are 100% correct. It makes no sense. There's no reason to do it this way. However, we have decades and decades and decades of anchoring certain price points and certain relationships with our information broadcasting with cable. And it's going to take more decades to untangle all of that. Tom, I spoke with authority, even though I'm not an authority. Did that land right with you?
I also appreciate Matt Bat coming forward and being honest and saying, like, hey man, I'm just mad because I can't cancel this stuff. That cracked me up. I think the reason that subscription services are wanting to not lock you in, but keep you as a subscriber is because that's a subscription business model. So there's a whole setup of maintenance and making things available. If you don't watch a show, it still costs them money. It costs them money in licensing. It costs them money in storage. It costs them money in bandwidth and maintenance and all of these sorts of things. There is a business model for what Matt Bat subscribed called rentals. And you can rent a movie. You can even rent some TV shows. And you have a different setup of costs and expectations when you're running a rental business. You're like, okay, we're probably going to get this many rentals a month. And if we push and advertise, we might push that up. And if we get that many rentals a month, then we can afford to pay these people to maintain it and do this amount of advertising. That's a whole business model. When you're doing a subscription model, you're saying, okay, we're getting people to commit and subscribe and say they will give us $10 a month, and we throw a lot of things at them. And throwing a lot of things costs a lot. But if people keep paying us $10 a month, then we know for sure we're going to get this amount of money. And most people don't cancel subscriptions, so we are going to get it every month for a long time. When you have that as your budget, and then suddenly people are canceling and then resubscribing, it makes for a little more uncertainty. And you've got a business model where you're saying, we're going to make everything available to you, whether you use it or not. You're treating it as, I just want the one thing. It's like, well, you're buying the wrong product. No, you shouldn't pay Hertz $1,000 a year to rent as many cars as you want when you're only going to rent one car a year. That's why Hertz does the rental car business the way it does. But what I would say is you should be renting things. Now, there are a lot of things you can't rent, and then you're stuck, and then you have to choose, am I going to break the law or I'm going to unsubscribe, et cetera, et cetera. But that is why they want to limit the unsubscribes is because the business model is built around having a recurring revenue like that.
Well, and we've made another alternate metaphor in the past about like a Chinese buffet at a hotel casino in Vegas, right? Like if you know for a fact that you're going to have 675,000, you know, foot traffic through there, then you can rely on certain numbers. But the fact is when you walk into that Chinese buffet, even if all you want is the sushi, that chicken is just as dead as it would be either way. Just as cooked either way, it's either going to get thrown out or not. And when it comes to production, it's a similar thing.
Yeah, Lonmex says it's the addiction of recurring revenue, and I guess that's true. But that makes it sound like it's some kind of, you know, shady business to do subscription. I don't think subscriptions are shady. It's just a different way of doing business, right?
It certainly is for the investors a more reliable way to do business.
Yeah. Chris writes, Brian, I love you. And normally I'd be right there with your libertarian market forces will solve this. We don't need no stinking government mentality, but you are in a bubble, my friend. I was so excited when a fiber option opened for the house I was renting a few years back and happily switched. Now we're moving 2 miles away and we're right back to exactly one broadband provider. Additionally, we're going from $65 a month for a gig to $110 a month for a gig down and 40 megabit up. It sucks. Just 2 miles. Also, LTE options here are very spotty in regards to coverage, and they're all comparatively slow and with crushing data caps, even if you're in a covered spot. And this is in the state capital, the second largest city, not the boondocks. I'm happy you live in a wonderland of choice, but most of the country is not so lucky. Your boss,
all right,
Chris.
All right. Number one, Chris, understand I've mellowed. I have kids now. I'm not going to proclaim that everything is solved by a free market. However, I will stick to my guns that in general, things just get better and better and better. As a matter of fact, after reading your email, I went and looked it up, and I with the simple query of how many people in the USA have only one choice for broadband. Turns out the answer is 3%. And that was a study from 3 years ago in 2021. So 97% of all Americans have at least, actually it says here, 97% of all Americans have at least three broadband options. That's usafacts.org, whatever, your mileage may vary. But my point is it's getting better. We don't need to get all wound up over it. Tom,
I'm deciding whether I want to ask what their definition of broadband was because the FCC just changed it. It used to be miserably slow, but
you know what? I actually checked that and it's acceptable to me. Here, let me, they defined it as June 2021, 99.2% of Americans had access to at least one high-speed provider. 97% had at least three internet providers. A small percentage, less than 1 million people, did not have any access. It defined it as
so one high speed and three internet.
I believe it was. Oh, hold on. Here, you read the next email and I'll get this.
Sure. David wrote in saying, hey, what happened? I'm in Overcast and suddenly I got a bunch of Spoiler in Time episodes in my Cord Killers feed. I don't know if something changed with the feed or if this is an Overcast problem, but I figured I should let you know. Not an Overcast problem, David. We did switch. We had been on Feedburner, which, if you don't know, is kind of like, I don't know, I can only think of really unfortunate examples, but Feedburner's on life support. It could go away at any time. Google really, really isn't trying to keep Feedburner alive or give you any features with it. So we switched to Acast. And when we did that, we simplified things. We used to offer a bunch of different feeds. And honestly, while some of you took advantage of it, most of you just wanted it all. So that's what we did. We said, look, there's now a Cord Killers audio feed for everything. Full Experience, Cord Killers, they're both in that feed. If you were on the Cord Killers only feed previously, then this may have happened where you just got a bunch of old Spoiler in Time and Full Experience episodes. And we apologize for the onslaught. From now on, it'll just be the two a week and you can skip the Full Experience if you want. But it's just a lot simpler and easier for everybody involved to have the one feed for audio. The video feed has not switched off the old system yet. So if you're getting the video feed, that is staying as it is. And we'll let you know when something changes there.
Meanwhile, I did get an answer about a decade ago, 2015, the FCC declared that a fixed internet connection with at least 25 megabits per second for downloads and 3 megabits up is high-speed broadband. So 99.1% of the USA has that available.
I will let those numbers speak for themselves. Our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. And we are live on twitch.tv/nightattack Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. I reckon we'll talk to you next time.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.